I do want to share something that I believe has been my life scripture. I've been saved now for around 27 years. And when I first got saved, I had the privilege of being mentored by three or four men who came into my life, and they began to pour into my life. And the reason they began to pour in my life is because I knew I wanted to grow. And so one of the men was John Lucas, who was actually a volunteer at the church that I first started attending. And I will never forget John as long as I live. He was married to a lady named Amanda, and they led a young adults Bible study. And I would go over to John and Amanda's house, and I would hang out with them. And I had so many questions about the Bible, and they were so patient, and they poured into my life. And I wanted to know as much as I could. And then another guy began to mentor me, and he challenged me. And this was so cool. He challenged me to memorize a scripture a week. He challenged me to read 10 chapters of the New Testament every day. He challenged me to read 5 Psalms and a proverb every day. And for 2 years, I was saved for about a year, and then he challenged me to do this. And then, so for 2 years, I read the New Testament, Proverbs, and Psalms every month, and it began to saturate my soul. And one day I was memorizing scriptures, and this scripture popped out to me. It's Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard. Your version might be a little bit different. I had a study Bible. This is funny. My wife still laughs about this. I had a study Bible that had all of my notes in it from the time I got saved. This person gave me this Bible. And from the time I got saved, I began to read and study and put all of these notes, highlights and everything like that. And one day I came home, and my dog had literally pulled the Bible off of the counter and it chewed my study Bible with all of my notes. It was all over the living room. And my dog is saved now because I beat the devil out of it, but I will see her in heaven. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. I'm going to read, it's just a very simple passage. It says, "A plan in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out." And your Bible may say, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." And the reason this passage has stuck with me for so many years is because men saw within me the potential that I didn't even see inside myself. And because of that, I am the man of God I am today. And because of that, I pour my lives into other men who desire the same thing. Because here's what I understand. You know, in Ecclesiastes, I believe Solomon says that God has set eternity in the hearts of men. And the people you work with, and the people you go to school with, and the people you see on a day-to-day basis, I want you to understand something. As bad as you think they are, we all have this one thing in common, and that is God created us. And he has set eternity in the hearts of men. And you and I need to look at the world in that light, that God wants and desires that all men be saved. And because of that, you and I have this potential to draw that out of other people. When I first got saved and these men began to mentor me and I began to saturate myself with the Word of God, I wanted to do the very same thing. And then a few years later, I got married. And I'm the man of God I am today in my marriage because these men poured their lives into me because I had a lot to learn. You see, I was in the world for many, many years, and I had been in professional or almost professional bodybuilding. I was on my way to being a professional bodybuilder. I was a selfish, selfish guy. And men, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The moment you get married, if you think you have everything under control, you realize how selfish you are. As my wife and I, we were married for several years before we had our first kid, and things started to settle down in our lives, and I thought, all right, I got this whole Christian thing under control. And then I had kids, and I realized how selfish I am. The pressures of life, the cares of this world, they begin to squeeze us. And all this stuff that's inside of us begins to come out. And so right before my wife and I had kids, I spoke with my wife, and I said, listen, something I desire to do is I desire to pour my knowledge, the things that God has deposited with me, into other people. And so right before we had kids, we were planning to have kids about 2 years into the future from there. We met a young man by the name of Aaron who was jobless and he had no money and he was on the verge of being evicted from his apartment. But Aaron was passionate about the Lord. He'd just gotten saved and he needed to be discipled. So I sat down with my wife, and it was a tough, tough sell. We lived in a townhome at that time. We had an extra bedroom. And I said, hey, Aaron needs a place to stay, and I really want, he's hungry for discipleship, and I really want to disciple this guy. Can we move him in here, put him in this extra bedroom? We won't charge him anything, and he really, really wants to be discipled. We prayed about it. My wife and I agreed, and ultimately, we offered Aaron this particular room. He didn't have to pay any rent. We wanted to get him back on his feet. I got him a job. I knew some people who were hiring, got him a job at this place. He began to get back on his feet, and he and I would sit down, and I would disciple him. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. And here's what I understood as Aaron and I used to have these conversations. What I was doing was I was going to the well of all the stuff that God had deposited within Aaron. And I was simply drawing it out. Aaron today has six kids. He's married, has six kids. He pastors a church up in Oklahoma. And he and I will talk on the phone occasionally, and it's so cool to see what God did through Aaron. Now, I am telling you that as a success story, but I want to share with you the other side, because here's what happens. A lot of times we get discouraged in our Christian faith because we have failures along the way. About 6 months after this, I was so excited about what God was doing. I thought, well, maybe we could start this ministry. And so there was another young man who had just recently got saved. I was on staff at this church, and he got saved at our church. We led him to Christ. I was able to baptize him. This guy was on drugs. He was addicted to drugs. He was an alcoholic. His life was a mess. He had no job, and I thought, hey, perhaps this is another opportunity. And so we had a spare bedroom. We allowed him to move into our house. And I really thought that Keith was hungry to grow in the Lord. I called up a friend who was a supervisor at a warehouse and said, hey, this guy really needs a job. He's had a rough life, but I think he's getting everything together. And Keith didn't even have a car. So I gave him the keys to my car, and I said, hey, I want you to go to this interview. I have this interview scheduled at 1:30. My friend Dean called me. About 2:15, he says, hey, I have not seen Keith. Keith stole my car. He stole a bunch of stuff out of our house and sold it for drugs, and he went back into that lifestyle. Man, I beat myself up over that. I was like, how could I not see this? I should have been wiser. But the truth of the matter is you and I, we step out in faith each and every day. And you and I are going to make mistakes along the way. And guess what? People are going to hurt us because we live in a fallen world. That's what sin does. It destroys. For me, this passage has kept me going my entire life because I realize that everyone I meet God has deposited into their hearts eternity. And ultimately, you and I, when we speak with these people, they know. Listen, I love talking to atheists. I am, to me, that's one of the funnest conversations I ever have when I speak to atheists, because they're sitting there saying that God doesn't exist. And I'm thinking, okay, that means that you have all of the knowledge in the world. You have traveled the universe, looked under every rock, every nook and cranny, and you have determined that God doesn't exist. I'm starting from that premise. It's basically an opinion for them. But I love speaking with atheists, and over the years, I've realized something, that if you start to plant and water, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that God gives the increase, because ultimately, the pressure is not on me to prove the existence of God. The pressure is on them to prove that God doesn't exist. It's like, how in the world did all of this stuff get here? By accident, because science says. Really? That's a lot of faith. Ultimately, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. And you and I, we need to be wise and men and women of understanding and draw that out of them, because they, deep down inside, they know that there is absolute truth. They know that there is a God. And it's by their own volition that they've chosen not to believe in Him. I am a person who is passionate about sharing my faith with others. I am fully convinced that God exists. I am fully convinced that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. I am fully convinced that He died a brutal death for my sins. I am fully convinced that He rose again on the third day, proving that He is God. And there is nothing and no one that could ever take that away from me. So you and I, as we walk throughout our lives, we need to understand something. As limited as some of us think that our knowledge of the Bible is, God has deposited some things within you. And you have the greatest thing you could ever offer someone else. And that is the truth. People are starving for the truth today, especially in this society. A few weeks ago, my daughter, she's 13, and I was truly humbled by something she did. My daughter and I, she's 13, and she's an athlete, and she loves playing volleyball. But she's also 13, and sometimes she gets a little sassy. And so she and I, she has that strong-willed personality, and she gets that from her mother, but no, I'm just kidding. But she and I, we have a great time together, and she had an assignment to do the first week of school, and she had to do this really cool thing. It was on a computer, and she had to tell a little bit about herself. And her favorite quote that she lives by was, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind." She put that in there. I wasn't even helping her. She asked me, she goes, "Hey, I need some help with this assignment." I said, "Well, you know what? You need to ask God what your life scripture is." And she put that down. And then in a section, it asked for, who is your role model in life? And she flipped open her computer. She goes, "I want to show you something." And in role model, she would put my dad. I was like, I'm about to cry here. But in it, she talked about how disciplined I was, and she talked about how I got along with pretty much anyone. We talked about this, and she says, "You know, Dad, one of the things that I really admire about you is whether or not a person is a Christian or a non-Christian, you listen to them. and you give them an audience. She goes, because I see that in you, I try to do the same thing at school. A lot of times we go into conversations with both guns blazing. We just want to just fire away. We're ready to win that argument when God is saying, I want you to win that person. The truth of the matter is you and I, we could win an argument a lot of times when it comes to apologetics, when it comes to defending our faith. But ultimately, we're here to win the people, aren't we? And sometimes that means just listening, asking questions, learning, loving, all of that stuff. Simple acts of kindness, all of those things are things that could plant seeds and water those seeds, and you can watch God give the increase. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. You know, sometimes we have to go digging. Sometimes we have to get that shovel out, and we have to dig, and we have to dig, and we have to dig a little bit more. We have to dig a little bit more, and we develop these relationships with people. And listen, I shared with you last night my story about my mom. And that is a cool story, you know, because God enabled me to forgive my mother, and now my mother is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The sad part is just a few months ago, my sister, whom I've been praying for years, she is an ardent, strident atheist. She and I had a conversation a few weeks ago where she basically told me how much she hated Christians and how much she thought I was a hypocrite and how much she thought the world, you know, all the Christians were hypocrites and all of this stuff. And you know what? For an hour and a half, I listened to my sister. And I pray for my sister. And my sister, whenever she's around my family, she sees how we interact with one another. And for some reason, I grew up in a very volatile home. For some reason, I know the reason, but for some reason, my sister views the way that she grew up and the way that I grew up, and we grew up in the same home. She is a bitter, bitter person. Well, the reason she's so bitter in life is because she has not come to the person who describes himself as living water. His name is Jesus. I was bitter about my life, raised in a volatile home like I was. My mom threatening to kill me. My mom kicking me out of my own house. I was bitter about all of that. But when I came to Christ, the washing of the water of the Word removed all of that bitterness. And so I know deep down inside, if I could ever get her introduced to Jesus, Jesus could begin to wash that bitterness away. So I continue to pray for her. And I continue to believe and have faith that one day God will reach my sister. You're probably in the same boat with friends, family members, people that you've been praying for a long time. I just want to challenge you and encourage you. Listen, we've had several people come forward this week. Guess what? Just like John Lucas discipled me, you could be a John Lucas to some of the people who've come forward. You know why? Because they're baby Christians. And they're going to mess up their diapers. And we're going to have to be there to change those diapers. And we're going to have to begin to nurture them in the faith. And we're going to have to understand. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. Let's begin to draw that out of other people. Begin to pour our lives into other people. I'm a father of two. Both of my kids are teenagers. And on a daily basis, I'll tell you this, my kids, they get mad at me sometimes. They're joking around, but they get mad. Because they're like, you ruin everything, Dad. When they're watching a television show, I'll say, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. When we go to the movies, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. And you know what I see? I see them doing the same thing now. When music comes on, that's a lie. Oh, wait a minute, Dad, you're in my head. I said, no, that's Jesus. You got to tell the truth. That's the only way we're ever going to counter this culture. And we're being saturated with a bunch of lies today. And let me tell you something. America is on a path of self-destruction right now. And I am not saying that because I want to criticize America. I just say that because I understand one thing. You got all of these people buying into the lies. And the only thing that can counter that is the truth. And that's God's word. So how do we do this? We do this step by step. God, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You're going to have to plant. You're going to have to water. And then watch God give the increase. I want to close with this. I appreciate what you said, Pastor, about marriage. My wife and I have been married almost 24 years, and she is an incredibly patient woman. She's put up with me that long. When I first asked my wife to marry me, she said yes, and I thought, this is great. And we got married, and of course, we had this beautiful wedding. And during the wedding and the reception and all that stuff, you shake hands, do all the traditional stuff, and people bring gifts. And we had gone to register for all of these gifts, and one of the last things that we registered for before the wedding, the planning of the wedding was, in all honesty, I still suffer from, that was traumatic for me in terms of planning for the wedding because I didn't realize how much went into a wedding. And so one of the last things that we registered for was China, and I don't know if people still do this, but back then, it was a tradition, you register for fine china, and people buy you these special plates, and I never understood because I was a bachelor, okay? So I ate on paper plates most of the time. And so one of the last things that we had to plan for and register for was china, and so she says, hey, you need to go with me for like the 20th time to the store to register for all this stuff. And I was like, okay, plates, I'll go with you. And I remember going up to the plate section, and as I approached the Great Wall of China that particular day, I knew I was going to be there a while, so I just kind of sat down. I said, you choose a pattern. She goes, what do you think of this? I was like, okay, it's a plate. It's circular, and she went and picked all this pattern. So we got all of the china that we registered for, and we went off to Jamaica for our honeymoon, came back, began to unpack everything, and I was unpacking the china, and I thought, hey, I've got some fancy plates I could eat off of. And so I started to unpack the china and place it in the cabinet. And she came in. She goes, what are you doing? I said, putting our plates in the cabinet. She goes, put them back. I was like, why? She goes, because those are for special people and special occasions. I said, am I not that special? She said, put them back. Yes, ma'am. Put them back. We moved into an apartment our first time. We saved up some money and finally bought a house. And I had forgotten about the china. And so, we were celebrating. And it had been, I think, about 5 years since we'd been married. So I was like, well, finally, it's a special occasion. Let's break out the china. And so I started unpacking the china. Same conversation. What do you do? I said, it's a special occasion. I was fishing. She says, no, put them back. Those are for special people and special occasions. We've been married almost 24 years, and apparently no one that special has ever come to our house because we've never actually broken out the fine china. And so I was joking around about that a few years ago, and she gave me that look, and husbands, you know what I'm talking about. But I got to thinking about that as I was looking at the china because we'd just upgraded and moved into a new home. This was about 8 or 9 years ago. And I thought, you know, those are expensive plates. And it's a tradition, but I really don't understand the need for china. As I looked at those plates, I kind of thought, I wonder sometimes if we don't treat this like fine china. We're waiting for that special occasion, that special person to witness to or to pour our lives into. We're saying, hey, God, just show me a sign. Here it is. Men and women died so you and I could have this. Men and women fasted and prayed and suffered so you and I could have this, the truth. And there is a hurting, sick, dying world who needs this. And all of us, we get busy. Hey, I'm right there with you. But every day you and I pass hurting, sick, dying people who need to hear the truth. They don't need to be slapped upside the head with this truth. They need to hear it. And sometimes you're going to be rejected. Guess what? Jesus was rejected. Sometimes you're going to be insulted. Guess what? You're in good company. Jesus was insulted. Sometimes people are going to hear with gladness and they're going to follow Jesus for a few days and a few months and they're going to walk away. And guess what? You're once again in good company because Jesus had people who got excited and followed him for a while and then walked away. Sometimes you're going to pour your heart and your life and you're going to invest in people and they're going to hurt you. You're in good company. Ultimately, we live in a fallen world and we need to realize that. We need to realize that counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And we need to understand that each and every day you and I are drawing that out of people. If we take that attitude, I guarantee you this, that it will become a little bit easier for you to step out in faith. So many of us want to rush this whole process. And for some, it is a process. For some people who are very near and dear to you, it is a process. They need to see you live your life. They need to see the faithfulness that God has instilled within you. You need to love on them. And you need to trust God for the increase. If you don't mind, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Heads bowed, eyes closed. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I want to pray. And this morning as I pray, if you're sitting here and you've never really encountered Jesus in a personal way, and I'm talking about where you've acknowledged that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. If that's you, as I pray this morning, I pray that you just talk to God. Because God is looking to save people. And he does that through his son Jesus. And your sin is what separates you from a relationship with God. And sin is not a word that you hear thrown around much anymore, but it's there. We're guilty. All of us are imperfect. And with heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to pray. And this morning, if you're sitting here and you're feeling guilty, well, guess what? there is a reason you're feeling guilty, because you are. The good news is this, that God sent his son Jesus Christ to pay the ultimate price for your sins, and that you could have forgiveness of your sins through his son Jesus. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to pray. And if that's you, if you're saying, you know what, I really need to surrender my life to Christ, and I really need to get my life right with God, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And this morning, I understand that Jesus paid the ultimate price for me. He died and rose again for my sins. I'm just going to ask you to pray out to God and ask him to come into your life. But for the rest of you here this morning, I just want to pray that God gives you wisdom. As you go out, this church is passionate about reaching people. This pastor and the staff here, they're passionate about reaching people. And they're passionate about discipleship. And they want to see those who come forward. They want to see them grow in their faith. And if you're sitting here today and you say, you know what, I've just been a spectator, I need to get in the game, this is a time where I'm just going to pray for you. And I'm going to challenge you to get in the game. Heads bowed, eyes closed. God, we're so grateful. We're so grateful that we have.